Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I
am. Amen. Good to see each of you in the Lord's house this morning. Looking out there, nice, cheery, smiley faces all the way from Arizona, all the way down from, man, we're seeing our snowbirds. I don't know whether you have noticed it lately, as every once in a while I walk outside the house and I hear this big flapping. It's snowbirds landing back in Vermont. They're coming in for their landings. And so as I look across our congregation this morning, we have several of our snowbirds back. Still some more coming, though, because I know that I got some emails this week from different ones that are coming in the next couple weeks. But always look forward to seeing those who winter somewhere else. And it just is a blessing. It's a blessing to see them for the summer. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll open up our service this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings to us, and I pray that you help us to honor you this morning. Honor you in our songs, in our prayers. Honor you as we look into your holy word. And most of all, as we listen to your Spirit speak to our hearts, help us to yield to you. We thank you and praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
When you don't understand the purpose.
cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven.
Please stand, and together we're going to lift up our voices as we sing, "Lift High the Name of Jesus, and then Build My Life."
Lift high the name of Jesus, of Jesus our King. Make known the power of His grace, the beauty of His peace. Remember how His mercy reached. Cried out to Him, He lifted us to solid ground, to freedom from our sin. Oh, sing, my soul, and tell all He's done, till the earth and heavens are filled with His glory. Lift high the name of Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. His power in us is greater than this world. To share the reason for our hope, to serve with love and grace, let all who see Him shine through us might bring the Father praise. Oh, sing, my soul, and tell song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. we could ever breathe.
We live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are.
In you alone, and I will.
blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Never fail. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him, that's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time.
I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. One of my favorite texts in the Bible, because this text gives us such great advice in life as Christians. I use this verse often when I'm counseling people or even in my own personal life. I use this as a checklist of things to keep myself on track and to help others keep themselves on track. So the title of my message this morning simply is, Be a Doer. And that actually comes out of verse 9 in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 down through verse 14. I'm going to read that to you. Then we're going to go back and we're going to look at it. My goal this morning is to get us to take this text and make it a real part of us. Oftentimes when we read the Bible, if we're not careful, we just kind of read through. But we don't stop and absorb. This is a text that really, if you'll absorb it, it can change your life. It can change the way you relate with other people. It can change the way you relate with God. It can change the way you relate with yourself, if you'll just take these verses and really internalize them. So I'm going to read them to you first, and then we're going to go down through it. And we're going to draw out of verse 9 the things that are going to be built. It's going to be a springboard from verse 9 into all the rest of the text. So listen as I read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 down through 14. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to really take these verses and look at them this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into these verses. For truly, Lord, as you inspired them, you meant for them to be a part of our lives, not just going into our ears, but rather into our very being. And I pray this morning that we, with great intent and purpose, would look at verse 9, understand what it is that you've had the apostle write, that we ourselves might practically apply these truths. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. When you look at verse 9, listen again to it. It says, these things which you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me do. So when we take that verse and we understand the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there in Philippi, as God inspires him to pen these words, he's challenging them to personalize what they have seen of Christian faith, what they have learned, what they have gone ahead and received, that which has been about them as they've watched the apostle and the other apostles and disciples minister to them. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take that verse and I want to look at the things that he's talking about. He starts off in verse 9. He says to them, I want you to go ahead and take those things you've learned. Well, what have they learned? They just learned in verse 8 the things that should formulate their thought life. We live in a crazy time today. You can get information anywhere, can't you? For years, I have the Sunday paper delivered to my house. And so, in Sunday afternoon, when I go home, Sandra Jo makes an amazing lunch. And I go ahead and I sit down on the couch. And in the old days, I would open a big newspaper and I'd read through the paper. Now it's more like a flyer than it is a newspaper. And some of you are thinking, what's a newspaper? But all of a sudden, last week, they started mailing me the paper. And again, it just comes as like a flyer, but it just comes in the mail. I thought, I didn't sign up. I said, Sandra Jo, did you sign up for the paper? She said, nope. They're just all of a sudden sending it to me. But if I don't want to read the flyer that used to be the newspaper, I can go ahead and I can go online. I can pull out my smartphone. And probably if I asked Kathy, you got a smartphone, Kathy? I don't need it. It's okay. But it's just a shot in the dark. If I go around this room and I start looking at folks, they're going to say, yeah, I've got one. Here we go. And I can go on that smartphone. And I mean, I can get world news at my fingertip, can't I? And if I'm not careful, I let everything I hear go into my brain and it formulates the way I think and perceive the world. The interesting thing about that is we now live in a day and an age where they go ahead and they figure out what you think and they send you just what you want to hear. So you no longer get the whole story, you only get part of the story. But here the apostle, he's writing, as God inspires him in verse 8, he says, I've taught you some things, and I want you to do the things you've learned. And in verse 8, he gives us a list of the things that help shape our brain, shape our mind. Men's prayer breakfast this morning, a couple of the guys got talking about the protests on college campuses around the nation and the revelation that really they're not just impromptu protests, they're highly organized and paid for things that have been put into place. And then all of a sudden you realize, so it's not just a bunch of kids who believe a certain way or jumping up and saying, this is what I think. No. Somebody's shaping that and organizing that and putting that together to influence other people in the way they think. Here the apostle, he gives us a little frame as God shows us to formulate the way we think. And in verse 9, he says, do these things as you've learned them. So what's he saying? He's saying your thinking should be wrapped around those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure. Boy, don't we live in a world that needs a little more purity? Whatsoever things are lovely, instead of all the violence and the hate, God says in the middle of the Roman Empire, he says to his Christian children, he says, think upon those things that are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Because you know what? There's a lot of bad news out there, isn't there? There's a lot of bad report. I mean, whether you're talking to your neighbor across the fence or you're watching the world news, there's a lot of negative stuff out there. And he says, why don't you send it through the filter of a good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when we look at verse 9 and he starts off and he says to them, do those things you've heard. We only have to jump back one verse to look at something that helps shape our entire thought life. I've sat down with married couples that are going through struggles and difficulties and fightings and arguings. And I ask them, do you filter your thoughts through this verse? Or do you always think the worst, always think the most negative? Or do you always think, the most deceitful? Or maybe you need to just change your filter and fall in love again. Because you see things through instead an eye or an ear of negativity, some positivity. Because that's what verse 8 is about. And the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, listen, You need to go ahead and be a doer of these things you've heard. It's not enough to hear it. Verse 9, he says, do it just as you have seen him do. Be sure to say yes to true, sound preaching, teaching the Bible, the Word of God. Learn to say yes to that which is positive and good, is what he's telling us in verse 8. It gives us a sound footing in life. Oftentimes we're walking around on the cobblestone. We're walking on the shaky rocks of this world instead of the good solid ground that God offers to us. So when he gives to us advice like this, the Word of God says to us, do it. Do it. It will help you. It will shape you. It will change you. Change the way you perceive your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, your neighbors. Learn to perceive things and filter out all the junk. Whenever I do a wedding, I always do premarital counseling. Part of that premarital counseling is talking about money, talking about listening, saying less, hearing more, all those things. Well, part of also premarital counseling is even talking about sex. Sex is a positive, healthy thing. It's a part of what God designed to bring a couple together in a most intimate way. But we live in a world that has made it so dirty, so twisted, so impure. God says, bring it back in to where he wants it to be. There's so much in our lives that is improved by just simply looking at the Word of God and, yes, doing that which we have heard. But he comes down in verse 9. He doesn't only say to us to do that which we have learned. But look what he goes on to say. He says, those things which you have both learned and received. We have to go ahead and look at those things we have received and say to ourselves, yes, God has given those to me. Therefore, I will embrace them. Christ has given to us gifts. Ephesians 4:8. It says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto mankind. Gave gifts to us. Now, it's not like Mardi Gras that he was headed up to heaven and he's throwing out necklaces. That's not what's happening. He's talking about that as he ascended up into heaven, he gave forth the Holy Spirit. He gave the gifts unto humankind that the Spirit of God might empower us, enable us to do that which God has for you and for me in our lives. These gifts vary widely. Look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. When we come to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 down through 9, here we find the diversity of that which the Lord has given to each of us as a church, as a family. Listen to what he says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him to do it with simplicity. He that ruleth or governs with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Here he's teaching us, whoever we are, whatever it is we do, he has given forth gifts for us to use in our lives. And we embrace those and take those and we use those in our family, on our job, in our community. But if we're not careful, we ignore them. I often mention we need teachers in our church. We have to have teachers for primary church, junior church, Wednesday night Awana, Sunday school. Lots of things that we need teachers for. But do you know what to have a teacher? You have to have a willing volunteer. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Same thing with cleaning the building. I can pitch it out there as the pastor, but it's only going to come back and get done if willing volunteers. God has given us all gifts, whatever they may be. We should be listening to him and yielded to him, that we ourselves might be willing to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, we come down and it says to us, "For I would that all men were even as myself," he says, "but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." And in your life, you have gifts. You have to recognize it. Don't ignore it. Don't just set it off to the side. You have to take that gift and you have to use it and hone it and make it better. I've read articles about professional sports people who make millions of dollars. And I was reading about a baseball player who said, he said, "Honestly, I went to college with kids who were better baseball players than I am." He said, "The difference was they went ahead and went on and did something else, but I worked every single day, hours and hours and hours honing what I had. Some of them had more natural gift, but I took what I had and I honed it and honed it and honed it to become a professional." And sometimes in our lives, we kind of ignore the natural gifts that God gives us instead of making them the best they can be to be used by God. You right here, right this morning, the apostle is challenging you just as he challenges me, that we would take those things we have received and that we would use them for him in our lives. And because they are our natural gift, we will enjoy our lives so much more. I was called to be a preacher, a pastor. Sandy and I, we moved here and we lived in the back of the old antique shop that was here. Some of you remember the old building. And then we built an apartment. The church built an apartment. We lived in the back of the church over here for 3 years. And those were great years when we were raising our little boys and our little boy and our little girl. And I love my calling as a pastor, as a preacher. And I enjoy it. And Sandy enjoys it 99.9% of the time. But you know what I couldn't be? I couldn't be like a professional rescue squad person. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't be a preschool teacher. I couldn't do that and still give kids back at the end of the day. Just wouldn't work. There's so many things that are not my gift. And in all of our lives, we should look for that which God has called us to do, whether we're senior citizens or young people. Because you will so enjoy that which you have received if you hone it and shine it and work on it and embrace it and be that God wants you to be. The apostle, as he writes to this church in Philippi, he wants them to get the best out of what it is that the Lord has for them individually. When you look in verse 9 there, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And you see in there that he says, "Do those things you have seen." Because they saw there, the apostle Paul came to Philippi. He came and he ministered and worked with them for a period of time, established a local church, and then he went on to do it again and again and again in another place. And he's just writing them. He's saying to them, "Listen, you've heard certain things. You've gone ahead and received certain things. But," he says, "you've also seen some things." He says, "Do those things. Do those things." And it's interesting that he says to them to do those things they have seen. And he qualifies it. He says, "As you have seen it in me." He's personalizing it. He's telling them, "Follow me as I follow Christ," is another place he says that. It's not that other godly people can't fit into that too. They can. But yet he is individually, personally, taking account. He's saying, you've seen me do the work. You've seen me minister to people. You've seen me sacrifice. You've seen me love the unlovely. You've seen me go ahead and bite my tongue. You've seen me filter my thoughts. You've seen me deal with the Roman Empire. You've seen me deal with hypocritical spiritual leaders. He's saying to them, you've seen me do all these things. I need you to do what you have seen. Go back with me, if you would, to Philippians. I want you to note where he goes with this, because it's very interesting how personalized he makes this whole principle of looking at his life and then doing what they see. Look down with me at verse, I'll read it. I'll start at verse 9 again, but I'm going to read down. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, in the apostle. He says, do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And what he's talking about here is he's shifting to talk about money. And he says to them, he says, I am so grateful that you have been supporting me as a church planting missionary. He said, for a while you couldn't because you lacked opportunity, but you really desired to. And that's what that phrase, wherein ye were also careful. You really were interested and focused and wanted to. But look what he goes on to say in verse 12 and 13. He says, well, we'll pick it up in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So he says to them, thank you so much for helping to support me. And remember, in verse 9, he just said, do those things you see me do. So while he's talking about the filter of the mind, and he's talking about doing all these things, he segues over to talk about his personal life connected to theirs concerning money. And he says to them, thank you so much. But I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentedness is such a powerful thing in our lives. Learning to be content. It's not that you don't want to work and achieve and strive to do more, but you're content. Instead of always looking and being unhappy and grouchy and grumpy and discontent, you're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what I have today and where I am today. Thank you, Lord. It's easy to be discontent. But he's saying he's honed the gift of learning to be content. But he doesn't stop there. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He gives to us the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of the concept. He says, he has learned. He says, do as I do. I want you to do as you've seen me do. And he says, I've learned. He has learned how to be content. And he says, in that contentedness, I've learned to be content when I abound. And I learned to be content when I have little. You know, it's so interesting. If you're young, talk to old people. Talk to old people. Old people are great. Not just because I'm getting old, but because they've lived so much life. Gene and Barb, one time when I was young and they were old, we were talking one day about when they were newlyweds. And Gene and Barb have a beautiful home today on acres of land that they love to hunt and ride their four-wheelers on. Got a little pond behind the house. But when they started, they lived in a little tiny shack. Now, isn't that right? I want to make sure I got the right couple. Little tiny shack. And you know, I have heard them say, some of the happiest years of our lives, happiest time in our lives. Absolutely. You see, they learned to be content when they were abased, had very little. Not that they're not content now with all their retirement and their beautiful home. They are. But they had to learn both. This generation struggles with that concept. Because you can borrow yourself blind today. Have everything your parents and grandparents ever had when they retired. But you're really broke. Because you owe the man. You owe the bank. Sandy and I, when we moved here to Vermont and we lived in the back of that old antique shop, neither her nor I, 5 years we lived in the back of the church between the antique shop and this building here, neither her nor I or our children look back on those years and say, oh, that was so bad. I've never heard my kids complain. They're grown, they now have kids. But when we talk about them living in the back of the old antique shop or living in the back of the church, they don't say, oh, it was so bad, Dad. It was so bad. They never say that to me. Because we had great times as a family together. That was our focus. The apostle is teaching us a lesson here. He's saying to us, whether you have much or whether you have little, he says, learn to be content. Now, if you're blessed and you have a mansion on a hilltop, praise the Lord for that. Be content. Because there's a lot of people who are filthy rich and miserably unhappy. Or you have just a little tiny place to get in out of the rain and tuck your feet up to the fire. The apostle says, be content. You are blessed. He's challenging us here to do what we have seen. Learn to live a life where we are contented in Him. Learning to be in a state where whether we have much or little, we rest in the Lord. That's why when you come down to verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sandra, Joe, and I, certainly when we were living in the church buildings through those years, you know, we had lots of friends who owned their own homes. We had lots of friends who worked for big churches with big salaries. But really, for us, we had a vision as a family to be together. And we just asked God to help us each day along the way. And he miraculously did. And he will for you too. But you have to rest in him. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching them. He wants them to understand this. As we come back to Philippians chapter 4. And as we go back into verse 9. He says, those things which you have both learned. Those things that you've received and heard and seen. He says, do them. It's so easy to come on Sunday morning and hear me preach or hear me teach and to get back in the car and drive away and leave it here. And it doesn't matter whether we're living in the year 2024 or whether we're living in the first century Christianity. People are people. It's easy to go through the motions, to hear it but not absorb it, to take it but not practice it. Here, he wants us to take it, live it, practice it, that it might shape us and form us, that we ourselves might have the blessings of the Lord in our lives. That's why at the end of verse 9, when he says, those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's what we need. We need the God of peace to be with us. Because for sure, the God of this world, the devil himself, who's scurrying about, as he told the Lord, he says, I go about the earth and I look and I watch. And he does the same thing still today. He's looking and he's watching where he can disrupt and cause disharmony and violence and chaos and destroy families. And he's looking and watching for churches he can destroy and communities he can destroy. The Apostle Paul, he tells us, wait, stop. What you need is the God of peace. The peace that passeth understanding. The peace that will enable you to be content. The peace that will help you to learn to filter your mind so that you're not focused on the negativity, but on that which is true and pure and just. All of that which builds and encourages. When we look at verses like this, they're not just a religious writing. These are truths that God wants us to take and hide in our heart and practice. They make us a better person. They make us a better Christian. They help us embrace the God of peace. I'd like you to take a moment and bow your heads with me as we come to the end of our message. This entire text is written to Christians, people like you and I that have received Christ as our Savior, people who have embraced Him and accepted Him into our hearts and into our lives. As you bow your head and look in your heart this morning, I ask you, are you taking to heart what he's saying? Because he's asking us to do it. Do that which we've heard and seen and learned and received. I just want you to take a moment and ask God to help you to practice, to do what these verses say. Let's just take a moment of silence and talk to God. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service this morning, you inspired the apostle to pen these words to a church under an oppressive hand of the Roman Empire during a religiously confusing time. These people were battling many things on every front. And yet he tells them to practice their Christian faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. As we get ready to be dismissed, help us to not leave this truth here, but to take it with us to our homes, to our jobs, our neighborhoods, our family and our extended family. Help us to do as you've called us to do. We thank you that you love us so much that you want us to have the best. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Brother John is going to close us in a chorus, a verse. I'm not going to have an invitation. Your invitation was when we sat there in that moment of silence. But if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior, please don't leave here without Christ. Come talk to me. Come talk to Brother Kurt. Let us open the Bible. We'll pray with you that today you might have the Savior. Going to turn it, Brother John, stand with me. We're going to sing this chorus and we're dismissed.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us. just His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Amen. We're dismissed this morning.